Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vopes. This is the audio diary and behind the scenes of a YouTube creator. This is a Sunday morning. I think it's the 15th of June, 2025. And looking at the time, it's 25 past five in the morning. I've been up doing some meditation, woke up at around about four-ish actually, but didn't get up till, I suppose, quarter to five. The cat is eager for some food, so feed that. Yes, so it is very early in the morning. Excuse me whilst I do all this. As I say, behind the scenes, this. So I have been meditating with breathing exercises and very, very pleasant. I think because it's even quieter, even stiller at that time in the morning, and the light is lovely. I will no doubt be very tired later on. The cat is always hungry. Getting through this food rather quickly. But he has been fed there, so that's really nice. I shall make myself a cup of coffee a little later. Maybe in a minute. Don't know. Going to have some more water first. If I can find where I put it. Ah! And when I meditate, and this is becoming a lot more frequently and a lot deeper, I don't do the cross-legged stuff. That's not really my thing. I sit in the armchair. This armchair is very comfortable. I'm very lucky. I know it's a second-hand thing and it may look a bit ghastly.
Excuse me, yawning.
But it is very comfortable. And you can sit, get your coccyx into the back at the bottom, in the rear of the chair, so that you can sit quite upright and comfortable, which is the most key part. You don't want to sit in any discomfort. And I'm not, you know, when I was younger, I might have a go at this cross-legged nonsense, but I don't need to do it. There are other exponents, as if to say you have to. The key thing, in my opinion, is to be comfortable and still. As quiet a place as you can to avoid distractions. And the ability to breathe, a regular in and out, slow and deep, using your diaphragm, to the point that you do this so that you're not, well, I focus on the breathing is what I do, focus on the breathing, and any other thoughts are automatically banished. It takes a bit of time, but you do start to banish it, and then you start to fall into some form of trance, really. And you connect. It's the ether. You're breathing in air, obviously, but you're connecting to the ether with this. And that's, you know, something that we probably don't think about in our ordinary everyday lives, is how we connect, if you like, to God, the universe, the creator, to the source, to the magic being. But I suppose God is a good enough term. God is a strange term because it has that connection to the other word, deity. But it's a good, at the same time, although it can have various connotations, I also think it's a rounded word that people can grasp to understand what they mean by God, if you like. Because if you use other words, the universe, that's a again, it has its own feeling to do with space, planets and solar systems and things. And I'm not really convinced that they exist. Not in the sense that I am not convinced that they exist, that we live on a flat earth with a, what do you call it, a filament or whatever it is, over the top, so that we're in the most ridiculous notion I can think of, really, that we are in a desk paperweight, you know, with this filament thing, firmament, I think it's called, over the top, that it's a flat plane, circular flat plane with this, you know, as if we're in a bubble. I'd rather think of us in a bubble than in a paperweight, to be honest. Because that's a very limiting concept. If you think about it deeply, I mean, people will say, yes, the world is flat. And they may come out with various apparent proofs that the world is flat, that you can see such and such at such and such a point, you shouldn't be able to see it if there's a curvature, etc. And I get that. I understand that there is these anomalies with all of them. But if you say there's a flat plane, but there's this firmament over the top, they don't seem to say we're in this flat plane, and they seem to put the two together, which is a strange thing. They can't just say, oh, it's a flat plane that never ends. With nothing over the top, but just, you know, endless whatever. They kind of given it limitations. And I think that's, it is a trap. I think it's a mental trap as well as a physical trap. And I don't believe that we live in a trap. I think that the flat earth, as such, is the paper world. The world of legal fictions, the world of all caps names on bits of paper, which by definition are flat and have four corners. That is the flat earth in my understanding. Now, I'm also not saying that we are on a ball and that we whiz around or anything. So when I say the world, or when I say, I've got to get my thoughts here. Well, I don't know that anything really exists. I mean, this is what it comes down to. The physical world we're in, and we feel that we're very much part of it. But at the same time, when you connect to, as it were, God or the source or life, probably that's a better expression, isn't it? When you connect to life, you see, we think we're alive in this physical world, but actually, the more I think about this, is I think the physical world is a form of life, but when you withdraw and you meditate and you concentrate on the I am, on the I bit, the who you are, you realize that you are the only thing there is. And that's quite profound. It's not that you are the only thing that is and therefore you're lonely, because at the same time you are the only thing that is and you are everything. that is. And again, that doesn't mean that there should be other things like you that you might bump into and go, oh, I thought I was the only thing that is, and now there's another. That's a 3D world thought. Life, you see, that's a better word, isn't it? Life. Because God has that sort of feeling that it is a power outside of you that is all-knowing and omnipresent and all that. But if it is omnipresent, it is everywhere, of which you are part of. You can't be outside God if he is omnipresent. And we stupidly give him a him or a her, if you like. We give them a gender. But I think that's a misnomer, and that God really is life. You connect to life. You see, life, what do you say about life? Life, if you try to define that, is it's about being sentient. I always get that word wrong. Sentient life. Being aware, being, having consciousness. And so this has got a bit deep, really, isn't it? It is a Sunday. But this is, I think that when you withdraw into yourself and you move yourself out of the 3D world, the world that we feel that we are in, and we feel in some ways trapped in it while we are in the human body, as it were, but we're not connected totally to the human body. We do wear this, we travel in it like in a car. And when you connect, when you sort of forget about the car bit, the body bit, and the outside world, and you connect to that inner world, which is infinitely more fascinating, you realize that you are life itself. I suppose that's what I'm saying. You realize that you are all there is and all there ever was and all there ever can be, and that there is no separation, really. It's just an illusion, the separation of you and other people and all that we are the one and only. And therefore, that must make us God itself. Which sounds, on the face of it, extremely arrogant. And I know people will probably, bristle at that. They will bristle as if... But I'm not talking about me specifically, I'm talking about all of us. All of us. We're all one and the same. And if God is everywhere, omnipresent, omnipotent, and all-powerful, where could we be if he is everywhere? And these are arguments that are difficult to discuss with people, because you kind of really can't do this through logic, although I'm using logic. You have to experience it to realize that actually when you meditate, you are the only thing there is. And if you're the only thing there is, and we have perhaps accepted that the source and life and the universe or the creator, whatever you want to call it, is the only thing that is, then you are also the only thing that is, then you must be one and the same. And we are individually expressions of the one and the same. So therefore we are all connected. And therefore, if we are God or life, life itself, if we are life itself, an expression of life itself in this physical world, but in the inner world, we are it, the only thing there is. We are the only thing there is and the only thing there can be. If that is the case, which I would say is, I have no qualms that that is the case. And that's not just a belief. I know it, but I can, because I cannot be anything else. I am the only thing there is. As indeed you are, gentle listener. And as you realize this, you realize that you, one, is the most powerful thing there is, because you are the only thing there is. Like everything that you see out in the 3D world, you think of the power, the riches, the influence, and all of that. That's you as well. That's you, not necessarily as well, but it is you. And you, because we are all one and the same, we have that power and influence. And so therefore your expression, it must follow when you come to realize that the expression of life that you are is immensely powerful, and that this 3D world is, if you like, a playground. And if it's a playground and you are enjoying the experience, so be it. For it doesn't last. Everything in this playground perishes. It has its time and it goes. I mean, look at nature. Things grow, they blossom, they live for a while, and then they decline, they go back into the soil, and then more things grow, and so on. And this cycle is an important cycle, and in a way, it is the same as breathing. You breathe in, and during the breathing in, it is that growing and blossoming, and you breathe out, and that is the declining. And it repeats ad nauseum forever. It is life. And that is, so this is an our iteration here, of which us, you know, talking now, me talking to you now, is just a tiny aspect of the beginning and the end that there is this, and so this iteration of us is just part of that growing, blossoming, declining, and that's it. And we are part of it. But because we are part of it, I think that this playground, and because we are the only thing there is and the only thing there can be and the only thing there ever was, because we are that, this is our playground to express all sorts of things. But it's also a way of, as a playground, in a playground you learn things, don't you? You learn to walk. And you learn not to fall over. You learn who's your friend and who isn't your friend. In a laboratory, you learn things. This is, in a way, a laboratory. And I think that we have more control on this laboratory than we give credit for. And that the rules of science, if you like, are pliable. They're not fixed. They're not a certain. Everything is why we call them theories, the theory of gravity or the this, that and the other. We because it could be disproved. Everything could be disproved. And once you disprove something, if it's got the potential to be disproved, you know, we may feel very certain that when you let go of a ball from a multi-storey car park over the side that it'll hit the ground, we may be absolutely certain. But if that you let go of that ball and it just floated, and it went, hang on a minute, this is a heavy ball, a football, might even be a light ball, but it's made of plastic or it's made of leather or whatever it is, whatever the, or it's a stone, and it just hovered. Now, I'm not saying that it would do that, but what if it did? That would suddenly make the certainty that weight and mass would fall to the ground, and people might call that gravity or whatever.
Oh, excuse me.
I think this is our play area. And I think, therefore, we have collectively brought about things that perhaps are not ideal, suffering, tragedy. Things of that ilk, things of slavery, of obedience to authority. And yet, it is an illusion, and we are all there is, and we're all connected. There's more to this, obviously. There is a lot more to this. There is the whole business of, well, if that is true, and it is a play area, and we are effectively life itself, in inverted commas, God. I do like that. I like that. So this is the Naked Englishman. This is the first draft of thoughts, and these are, I'm clawing for thoughts, but these thoughts are actually quite profound today, that if you substitute God for life and what we think of life, you are life. Not just alive, but you are life itself. And life, if you look at it like that, life is, it's not a beginning or an end. Life is being, isn't it? Life is being. And whereas when you describe God, the universe, the source, deity, or any of those things, again, they are outside of you. They are away from you. Whereas life is everywhere. You're part of it, it's part of you, and everything that moves and breathes is alive. And we learn through some science in this illusionary world also that, sorry, I'm going into the kitchen to make a quick cup of coffee, that inanimate things are alive because of the vibrations of everything. And so, therefore, life is everywhere, and it all exists within this ether, which is energy. Aren't you glad you listened to the Naked Englishman? Now, you may profoundly disagree with all of this, and of course you are absolutely entitled to disagree, because you are alive, and your lived experience may well be very different. And you may take umbrage with me substituting what a lot of people would consider what God is for the word life. But I shall dwell on that thought, because I think there is something to that. And the reason I say that some people will bristle or take umbrage at that concept is I believe people need a parental figure, a father figure, a mother figure. And so I believe that they wish to think, because we have a mother and a father, in this 3D world that it would follow. I'm going to shut this door for a minute. That we as we get older, or we are on our own, or whatever, or lonely, or in states of confusion, that we feel that we need that mother and father figure that we had when we were born, that we need to know that there is something or someone looking down on us and saying, you're doing a good job, don't do that, move over here, listen to this. And that is a reassuring thing for people to say, well, out there somewhere, there is this God that created everything and is benevolent and has my best interest at heart, even though he moves in a mysterious way. And we have texts that have been written, ancient texts that have been written, that say all of this. Oh, I must turn the internet on. Turn God on. So I hope I'm not offending anybody, by the way. I don't mean to offend anybody, their sensibilities or their thoughts and their understandings. And you may be listening to this going, Richard, you're just so wrong. You're misguided. And I appreciate that. Oh, I didn't turn it off last night, so it is on. Either that or I turned it on and I forgot I turned it on. Anyway, God is on. The internet is on. So please don't be upset. I hope you won't think any less of me for having these deep philosophical thoughts. And I accept that my thoughts are my thoughts, and this is a work in progress, and it's an understanding of what the world might be, or who we are and what we are, which I think is the most fundamental questions that we continually must seek, who we are and what we are, or seek or understand individually on our own. And yet, when you withdraw, my argument stands as it is at the moment, and unless I change my mind, which is possible, of course, that when you withdraw into yourself, you come to that realization that you are all there is and all there ever was and all there ever can be. And that therefore you are what classically is known as God. But actually, I'm now defining it as you are life. And that's how I see it. And as I say, you can disagree. But the comfort factor need not... So one need not... I think the comfort factor is very good, you know, in terms of there is this outside benevolent force responsible for everything and all of that. But I'm not knocking that. I think that's a very human, it's a very human need to feel that we are loved, because I think that's still very much a human thing. But it's a very 3D world thing, because we see it in nature and what have you. But actually, when you go, again, I know this is perhaps difficult for people, but when you go into yourself and you concentrate on who you are and what you are, and you realize that you are everything, everything there was, everything there can be, and everything there will be. And when you realize that, you realize there is no father figure or no mother or, you know, benevolent force outside. You are it. You are the benevolent force. And actually, because of that, when you meditate into that state and you realize that that's, you are all there is, it isn't a lonely thing. It's actually quite the opposite. It's so reassuring, because you are life itself. And so many of the values that we give ourselves as humans in the waking state, as it were, in this this world that we're in, you know, it doesn't apply. They don't really apply, but you don't need to have confidence. You don't need to have guardian angels. You don't need to have all this stuff, because you are the raw life itself. You are everything. And therefore, that is a unique power, if you like, or a unique concept, that you the confidence that you would have, I suppose, is that when you realise that that is it, it's not, when I say when that is it, that's not to say that that is, makes it sound as if, oh, that's all there is, as it were. That's, it's not just that it's all there is in terms of, oh, is there anything more to life? It is life itself. It is everything there is. So it's not, you know, it's not a small thing. It's the biggest thing in the world, and it is the most truly wonderful thing. And when you realise that, you don't need that father figure, because you realise that those are crutches, that you're dependent on anything. You are life itself, the only thing that is, and you are part of everybody else, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing. I don't know if I've, and I had no notion I was going to talk about this and in this way today. I don't know what I'm going to talk about in my video. I don't think that in my YouTube video I could express this in the same way, and it may upset people. Sometimes you can talk about things, I can talk about things, let's say, in The Naked Englishman in a much more profound, deeper, expressive way, with an understanding, which is why I think The Naked Englishman, to me, is one of the most important things I do, and yet it's the less listened to public thing that I do, and makes no it makes no money whatsoever. I generally don't get any emails on the back of it, and I pour my thoughts into it, and it's not, you know, it's like people will hear The Naked Englishman. The links are out. They're all, the links, of course, are in every video that I do, but people don't see them, I don't suppose. But the thing about this world, as I see it, is that people will stumble across the information, and the people who need it will see it at the right time. The only thing about The Naked Englishman that differs from YouTube and things, well, not the only thing, but one of the things that differs from it, it's on a carousel. There's only 10 podcasts available at any one time for space purposes, because unlike YouTube, I don't have limited servers and things like that. So as I put one up, the 10th one, or the 11th one, I suppose, is removed. And so this will last for 10 days and then it will disappear. But in that 10 days, anybody who needs to listen to it will listen to it. And I'm not saying that I have anything terribly profound. I mean, I know it was a bit profound today, and these are just my thoughts. And I'm not by any means saying, hey, I'm a guru, you've got to listen to this. By no means. This is my workshop of the mind. And I often don't know what the hell I'm going to say. Thank you for listening, if you did, and I appreciate it. It's probably been a long one, hasn't it? Yeah, so I better go. I don't know what you'll make of all of that. Some days I say things and I do wonder, should I put that out or should I not? But I feel that one was a good one, because I feel I've worked it out myself too. That we are all there is, all there ever was, and all there can be, all there ever will be. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? We are life itself. Thank you for listening. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.